أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. I begin in the name of the Almighty God, the Compassionate, the Merciful. The one who has created everything in utmost perfection. And may the peace and blessings of the Almighty God be upon his pure and beloved messenger, the peak of his creation, the symbol of humanity, the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. And his immaculate progeny of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, especially the leader of our time, the awaited Savior, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajah. May Allah hasten his reappearance and make us all amongst his sincere and dedicated servants. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati hallat bifina. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار. Peace be upon you, O Aba Abdullah. As long as there is day and night, I salute you. As long as there is day and night, I thank you for your sacrifices. And I ask you, O Aba Abdullah, to take my hand with you on this journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 195, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَ. And do not bring about your own destruction. Do not cause yourself to perish with your own hands. One of the most discussed topics this last year has been the vaccine. It has been a word that we have probably used every single day. It's constantly on the news. Millions of people have been vaccinated. Millions of people around the world are desperate to be vaccinated. And there are millions of people who are hesitant. And their source of hesitation is several. One, they don't trust the vaccine. They believe that more time needed to be dedicated to this vaccine. Some believe in some sort of conspiracy theory that there are dominant powers in the world trying to control us through this vaccine, and there are other concerns. In our discussion this evening, we will examine vaccines from a religious perspective. Now, this discussion, this lecture is not an attempt to make the case for a vaccine or against a vaccine. I am not a vaccine specialist, expert, scientist for me to give such an opinion. I'm not giving a medical opinion here. But here's the idea. When it comes to such matters, what is the religious process? What's the process that I should go by when something becomes controversial? Having a process in your life makes life much easier, much more convenient, and much more organized. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to live responsibly in this dunya. I'll share with you a couple of examples. When an emergency happens at home, you call the ambulance. In the US, we call 911. In other parts of the world, people know what number they need to call for the ambulance. You go to the hospital, you get checked out. Before they arrive, maybe CPR needs to be done. See, there's a process. When you don't have a procedure in place, you put yourself in danger. If somebody at home has an emergency and you don't know what to do, let me consult people, let me see what I need to do. You cannot. In these times, you have to already have a process. The second example is the example of flying in an airplane. Every single time when we fly, we are informed about the emergency procedures in case an emergency happens. You're told where the emergency exit doors are located, what happens if the oxygen levels drop, what happens if the plane lands in the ocean and you need those life vests in order to survive, how you can help others, help children before you help yourself. Or no, start with yourself, put the mask on, then help others, right? See, all of these have been thought out by experts, and they're telling you the best thing to do. You must have a procedure in place. You can't wait for a crisis to figure out what to do. By having a procedure in place, you can save yourself. You can save your family. You can save your community. You can save the world. So when it comes to vaccines, what is the Islamic religious procedure? I, as a Muslim who follows the Holy Quran and the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the Ahlul Bayt, what is the procedure that I should take? Whether it's the COVID-19 vaccine or any other vaccine, how do I develop a process? The first step in developing this process is that Islam teaches us to develop confidence and certainty and to consult experts. I'll share with you several verses from the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-An'am, verse 116, وَإِن تُطِعْ أَكْثَرَ مَن فِي الْأَرْضِ يُضِلُّكَ عَن سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. If you want to obey people in religious matters, they will cause you to deviate from the path of Allah. Why? Why do they deviate? إِن يَتَّبِعُونَ إِلَّا الظَّنَّ وَإِنْهُمْ إِلَّا يَخْرُصُونَ. The reason is because they follow conjecture, their own opinions. They don't have certainty. Whether it's idol worshiping, whether it's atheism, whether it comes to moral standards, most people don't have certainty. They just saw their forefathers worshiping God this way. Let's worship in their own way. This is a Quranic principle over here. Do not follow conjecture, someone's opinion, your own unfounded opinion. Follow yaqeen and certainty. Another verse in the Holy Quran, Surah An-Nisa, verse 157. مَا لَهُمْ بِهِ مِنْ عِلْمٍ إِلَّا اتِّبَاعَ الظَّنِ. They have no ilm, they have no knowledge. They follow conjecture, suspicions, and just unfounded opinions. Then the Holy Quran commands us to ask the experts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah An-Nahl, verse 43, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ. Ya Rasulullah, we have sent before you men, and we have revealed our revelation to them, our wahi to them. فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. O people, O you who do not know, ask those who know. Ask the people of knowledge, the people of remembrance. Now the major application of this verse is of course the Ahlul Bayt, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam and the Imams of Ahlul Bayt. But the general spirit of this verse is فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ. Ask the people who know. Ask the experts. So we know that the Quran tells us, don't just follow unfounded claims and opinions, and ask the experts. This is the first pillar of this procedure as we are discussing the vaccine. The second pillar of this procedure, of this process that every person should have in his life, is to go by a rational principle, bina al-uqala. Ask rational people. When there is a controversy, when there is something that I don't know, what do I do? Rational people tell you, follow the experts in all fields. You're not a doctor? Follow the experts. Follow someone who studied medicine. You're not an engineer? You're not an expert? Follow a qualified engineer who's an expert. If you don't and something happens, you're blamed. But if you do and something happens, you're not blamed. You go to the best doctor and the doctor gives you a prescription. That prescription, for one reason or another, is not compatible with your body, with your health. It does not make you good. In fact, you became worse. Does anyone blame you? Rational people, do they blame you? Why did you go to the doctor? No. Even if you take that pill and you die, no one is going to blame you because you did your part. You went to an expert. But let's say you're like, you know what? I kind of did my Google search about this condition, this medical condition, right, that I'm experiencing. Forget the doctors in the city. I'm going to come up with my own prescription, my own medication. If you do, you take your medication and you become more ill or you die, everyone blames you. Rational people will blame you. Rational people will tell you, you were not an expert. Now that something happened to you, you are to blame. Another example is a mujtahid, scholar, marja. You're not a mujtahid, you're not an expert in hadith, you follow one. If I'm not an expert in the Quran, in the Arabic language, in logic, in the hadith of Ahlul Bayt, I need to follow an expert. The book of Kafi alone has over 16,000 narrations. If I'm an expert and I have the capacity to examine those narrations that are applicable to me, okay. If I'm an expert, I don't need to follow anyone. But if I'm not an expert, I do taqleed. I follow an expert. That expert does the research on your behalf. The Imams alayhim as-salam sanctioned this seerah, as we call it, in ilm al-usul, in the science of jurisprudence. Seerat al-uqala, the rational practice of rational beings. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt sanctioned this through their tacit approval. During the time of the Imams, people would consult doctors. People would consult engineers when they wanted to build something. People would ask the experts. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt did not prohibit them. The Imams did not tell them, no, don't go and ask a doctor. Come and ask us only, the Ahlul Bayt. No, when it comes to worldly matters, the Imam approved this practice of going to experts. So we know that the tacit approval of the Imam has been given to us in any field. That's why scholars state that qualified linguists, their words are hujja on us. If a linguist tells you that this is the meaning of an Arabic word, let's say we go back to a linguist who lived 1,000 years ago, we're not sure about this word. What does it mean? We're trying to understand this hadith better. You can go to a dictionary. Is there a hadith that says a dictionary is a valid source of knowledge? No, we don't have a verse in the Holy Quran that tells you that. But this is rational practice. The one who authored the dictionary, if he's qualified, trustworthy, he's an expert, okay, you take his word for it. Because he's an expert in that field. The Imams of Ahlul Bayt did not prohibit us from going to the experts. So now let's apply these principles on the vaccine. How do I deal with a subject like a vaccine? Do I see what the experts are saying? As some people do. In fact, many people do. Let me ask the doctors in my community. Let me see the doctors around the world. Vaccine specialists. People in the health sector. What are they saying? Or should I be influenced by WhatsApp messages that I get? I got many WhatsApp messages warning about the vaccine. You know, the vaccine is going to make you sterile in 5 years. You can't have children anymore. There's a chip in the vaccine that can locate you and it can control you. And so on and so forth. I get these messages. Should I follow them? Or I read some article claiming something about the vaccine. What is a rational process that I should go by in dealing with this matter? So the Quran tells us follow the experts, right? So I know that I need to follow an expert. This WhatsApp message that's being forwarded to you, who sent it to you? Do you know who the author of that message is? Can you verify that they are experts? It is clear by rational principles that I shouldn't just follow any message that I see or some video on Facebook. I have to be confident. I have to have yaqeen or confidence that experts are saying the following. Now, here's the dilemma. When you come to experts, someone will tell me, Sayyid, I consulted experts. The experts are split. There's a contradiction, discrepancy amongst the experts. What do you do in these cases? Or sometimes you'll hear, about someone who died after taking the vaccine. And that really shakes your confidence in the vaccine. My question to you is, what do rational people do when there's a discrepancy? 70% of doctors say this prescription, this medication is good. 30% say no, it's not good. What do you do? Let's say you have a medical condition right now, diabetes, and you need insulin. And in your part of the world, there's one type of insulin, or two types of insulin, or three types of insulin, doesn't matter. 70% of the endocrinologists, of the doctors in your city say, type One, insulin is good for you. 30% say no, type 2. What do you do in these cases? Because sometimes there is a discrepancy amongst the experts. You need a process here. Now, the next step is, which side is more qualified? Those 70% doctors who are saying type 1 insulin is more applicable to your situation, what are their qualifications? Have they studied more? Are they better experts? Have they done more research? Do some research, right? If it's a life-threatening situation, you're not just going to sit home and rely on some WhatsApp message or some article. You're going to actively do research in your society. Why do these 70% doctors say the following? Do some research. Have a pressing, convincing reason why you side with one side or the other. Why is it that I side with one side or another side? I need to have a convincing reason. I need to have a process. By the way, even in the world of hadith, we have conflicting reports. We have contradictory hadiths, but the imams of Ahlul Bayt have given us a process. In one hadith, the imam states, if you see two reports that are contradictory, both of them are attributed to us, then take the one that is more widely circulated amongst our narrators. That sometimes gives you confidence that if this hadith is more prevalent amongst the ruwat, the narrators, that gives me confidence that the likelihood of this hadith being the correct one is more. Or in another hadith, the imam states, take these two hadiths and weigh them against the Quran. The Quran is the standard. That which is compatible with the Quran, is in sync with the Quran, accept it. And the one that opposes the Quran or the spirit of the Quran, reject it. Or sometimes in some hadiths, the imam tells us, take the one hadith that is narrated by the one who's more trustworthy, who's more just. Or look at those schools of thought that oppose the imams of Ahlul Bayt. What was their opinion at the time? Take the hadith that opposes their opinion. Because sometimes those schools of thought, they would deliberately issue fatwas and opinions just to go against Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Unfortunately, this is the reality. So the imam states, see what they say, go against it. Even when it comes to conflicting hadiths and reports, we have a process. How do I deal with these conflicting reports, these conflicting hadiths? There's a discrepancy amongst them. Apply the same principle to the vaccine debate. Number one, ask experts and only experts. Don't just ask a layman or rely on some WhatsApp message. If there is consensus amongst the experts around the world, then obviously it is morally binding on you to go with the consensus. If there's no consensus, 80% say yes, take the vaccine. 20% are hesitant, they say no. Don't just stop there. Do research. See what the concerns are. Are they well-founded? These concerns, are they being proposed by experts in the field or no? Now, let's talk about the risk of death. I know many people who did not take the vaccine, or they're still hesitant, because of the possibility of dying after taking the vaccine. Even though it's a very, very small possibility for such a severe reaction to ensue after the vaccine, but nonetheless, people are scared. From a religious perspective, if there is a risk of death when it comes to taking a medication or a vaccine, should I take it or no? From a hadith perspective, do we have any hadith that comments on this? Yes. We have a hadith that has been narrated in our sources in Tibb al-A'imma and Bihar al-Anwar. It's from Yunus ibn Ya'qub. He is one of the companions of Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. He asks Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam the following. عن الرجل يشرب الدواء. I ask him about a man who takes medication. وربما قتل. There is the possibility that he's going to die. And there is the possibility that he's not going to die, that it will heal him. However, more people are healed by this medication than people who are killed by it. He's saying to the imam, there is a medication. If you drink it, if you take it, you could die or it could end up saving you. It could end up treating your condition. But more people are treated than they die. So there is the risk of death, but it's lower. The Imam alayhi salam states the following: أنزل الله الدواء. Allah has brought down medication. He's created the resources for us to extract medicine. وأنزل الشفاء. And the healing comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وما خلق الله داء إلا جعل له دواء. And Allah has not created an illness, a disease, except that He's given the cure for it. We humans, we just need to find the cure. We need to do more research, but the cure is there. Then the Imam tells him, فشرب, drink that medication. وَسَمِّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى, and mention the name of Allah. See, in this hadith, the Imam alayhi salam is aware that if you take this medication, you could end up dying. But the Imam states, take it and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save you. Mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is another narration in the book of Kafi, and the chain of this hadith is solid. It's a sahih chain. Also from Yunus ibn Ya'qub, this same narrator. He says, I said to Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam, Ar-rajulu yashrabu ad-dawa. A man drinks medicine, takes medicine. وَرُبَّمَا انْتَفَعَ بِهِ وَرُبَّمَا قَتَلَ. He may benefit from it, he may die from it. The medicine could end up killing him. The Imam alayhi salam states, let him drink the medication. You have to search for the cure. There is one beautiful hadith in the book of Bihar al-Anwar from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam. In this hadith, Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam states, one of the prophets of Allah became ill. So he said, I'm not going to seek any medication until the one who made me ill heals me. Meaning Allah. Allah allowed me to become ill. And I want Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal me. وَإِذَا مَرِضْتُ فَهُوَ يَشْفِينَ. As Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam states in the Holy Quran, when I become ill, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who cures me. So he states, لا أتداوى حتى يكون الذي أمرضني هو الذي يشفيني. I'm not going to seek any medication until the one who made me sick heals me. Allah revealed to him, لا أشفيك, I will not heal you. حتى تتداوى فإن الشفاء مني. Allah told him, yes, the cure is from me. The healing is from me. But I will not heal you until you seek medication. This is the law of God. Allah has put the power of healing in medication. Go and find that power of healing in medication. This is the process that we go by. Once again, my dear brothers and sisters, I'm not here to advocate for a vaccine or not. As I said, I'm not a vaccine specialist. I'm sharing with you a process. Ask the experts. If there's a discrepancy amongst the experts, do more research. Try to have a pressing, convincing reason why you'll take the vaccine or why you don't want to take the vaccine. You have to have a process in place. So now, if you've consulted the experts, you've weighed the risks of vaccinating or not vaccinating, then you have a process. So let's say you've done that. You've weighed the risks and you still were opposed to getting vaccinated. You've done all the research, you've consulted the experts. At the end of the day, between you and God, you're still hesitant. You feel that the risk of getting vaccinated is greater. Okay. I may disagree with your opinion. Many people may disagree with your opinion. But at least you went through a process. I can respect that. If you've done your research and you've consulted the experts, you've gone through all that process, and your research led you to believe that the risks are greater. At least between you and Allah, you have an answer. At least you went through that process. But the problem is, my dear brothers and sisters, many people don't have a process. I asked some people, you know, what is your concern about the vaccine? Yes, I read this message that there's a chip in it. Or I read this article. You cannot base such an important decision. It could be a life-changing decision because many people are dying from COVID. Or their health is severely affected. You cannot make such an important decision without having a process. Have that process. If you go through that process, I respect your opinion. Because at least you went through that process. You went through a rational principle. I'm not advocating here that every person should be vaccinated or that it should be imposed on them. No, I'm not making such a claim. And I ask you not to misunderstand what I'm saying here. What I am recommending to you based on our hadiths is to have a process. And if there is a risk of death, if you're concerned, you know, something might happen, we have hadiths about that. We have hadiths that if the experts are saying this is medication, this is a good cure, this is a good vaccine, and you're still concerned that you might die, God forbid, the Imam still told his companions, take the medication. Mention the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, have tawakkul on Allah, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heal you. And if you've gone through all these steps and you're still not convinced, that's fine. I respect your opinion. But at least have some sort of process in place. As rational people, this is what's required from us. So this was a brief discussion on the vaccine, my dear brothers and sisters. Now, these nights, as we remember the legacy of Imam Hussein salawatullahi alayhi, let's examine the spiritual vaccine. Vaccines do protect us. In general, many vaccines have been helpful in saving millions of lives, millions of children. In the past, children would easily die due to simple diseases. My own grandfather's cousin, he was the only surviving child of his parents. His mother gave birth to 16 children in Karbala nearly a century ago, or a little bit less, 80, 90 years ago. She gave birth to 16 children. They all died. He was the only one who survived. Infant mortality rate was high in history. Through the blessings of many of these vaccines, that went down. So we know that vaccines in general offer us protection. What about a spiritual vaccine? How often do you vaccinate yourself spiritually, my dear brothers and sisters? You know, when you look at Ashura, the arena of Karbala, the Imam and his companions did great on the day of Ashura. Their achievements were impeccable. But do you think that came randomly? Their achievements are unprecedented on the day of Ashura. Their valor, their courage, their patience, their perseverance, their sacrifice. Imam Hussein alayhi salam, in Ziyarat al-Nahiyah, there is a passage that moves me every time I read it. لَقَدْ عَجِبَتْ مِنْ صَبْرِهِ مَلَائِكَةُ السَّمَاءِ. The angels of the heavens, they were shocked at the patience of Hussein. You know, the angels have seen all prophets. They've seen all calamities. Since the day of Adam until that day of Imam Hussein, they had seen and witnessed all types of tragedies. They've seen patient people. But they were shocked at the patience of Imam Hussein. This patience, we've never seen anything like of. And also the 72 companions with Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Their achievements are unprecedented in history on the day of Ashura. But that did not just randomly come, my dear brothers and sisters. They were spiritually vaccinated. Imam Hussein himself, yes, he's an infallible Imam chosen by Allah. But the events of his life prepared him for the day of Ashura. He lost his mother at a young age. He was a child when he lost his mother. And just 2 months before that, he had lost his grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Imam Hussein faced many trials. He fought at many battles. At Safin, he was with his father. And during the battles of Imam Ali, he was there ready to fight. Then he saw how his brother Al-Hasan was betrayed. He lived 10 years under the rule of the evil ruler Muawiyah. He worshipped all night long. In Ziyarat al-Nahiyah, we state, طويل الركوع والسجود. Oh Hussein, you upheld the Quran. Your sujood was long. Your ruku' was long. The Imam would engage in supplication all night long. And Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam tells us, my father Hussein would worship all night long. He would not sleep. To the point that Imam Zain al-Abidin states, I don't know how I was born. Because my father was literally worshipping Allah all night. It's a figure of speech. He was basically saying that my father was engaged in ibadah. Engaged in teaching people, educating people, helping the poor. All of this prepares you for a day like Ashura. As for the other companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, like Habib ibn Madahir, whom we commemorate on such a night. Habib, you think became Habib randomly? When Imam Hussein walks up to his body, the Imam alayhi salam makes a powerful testimony. He tells him, Habib, I bear witness that you used to finish the Qur'an, the entire Qur'an in one night. Allahu Akbar. This is Habib ibn Madahir. He was a scholar. He was a hafiz of the Qur'an. He would recite the entire Qur'an in one night. How long does that take? 10 hours, 12 hours, some of those longer winter nights, 14 hours? You think Habib would sleep at night? Spend it in entertainment. These days, I know many of us. We've got these gadgets. I've got my computer, my smartphone, my TV. I watch Netflix for 10 hours. I play games for 5 hours. I'm on social media just without any purpose, looking at different pages and likes for 10 hours. That's how we spend our nights. Many people. Not Habib ibn Madahir. During the day, he was a lion warrior. Working to bring halal income, serving his family and society. At night, it was his private time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Imam states, I bear witness that in one night, you'd complete the Quran. See, this is a spiritual vaccine. Habib was ready for a day like Ashura. Trials in life vaccinate us, my dear brothers and sisters. Many people are uncomfortable. Why does Allah try me? Through a health crisis, financial crisis, family crisis. Why do I have to go through all these troubles? Doesn't Allah love me? Yes, it's because Allah loves you that He tries you. Because He's vaccinating you. You know, traditionally, before this mRNA technology with the vaccine, traditional vaccines, they take the antigen, part of the virus, and they put it in your body. Your immune system recognizes the features and characteristics of this virus, and so it produces antibodies. God forbid if you contract the virus, your body knows how to deal with it. See, you have to taste the virus a little bit. Now with the mRNA, they don't actually put part of the virus in your system, but the mRNA technology tricks your immune system to think that there is something that looks like the coronavirus. It's the same idea, it's a vaccine. To trigger a response from your immune system in order to kill the virus. This is good for you. Now someone could say, wait a minute, they're putting part of the virus in my body. Yes, that's the idea. They're training your body to deal with this virus. The difficulties, the trials of life are a spiritual vaccine to make you stronger. Today if I go through a financial crisis, Allah is teaching me a lesson. There are greater trials ahead of you. I'm teaching you. I'm training you. Be strong. Be immune to the materialistic temptations of this dunya. Protect yourself. At the moment of death, you know, it's a very difficult moment. At the moment of death, it's your final fight with the shaitan in this dunya. If I had not spiritually vaccinated myself, I could lose that final trial. The dunya will pull me. I don't know how to say no. The shaitan will appear before me as hadiths indicate. I'm in an extreme state of thirst. Shaitan comes to you and he tells you, just believe in me, disbelieve in God, and I will give you the best drink, and he can even show it to you. If you're not trained, if you're not vaccinated, you think you can say no in those final moments when nothing can help you? Vaccinate yourself spiritually. That's why believers always challenge themselves. Put yourself in different scenarios. Sometimes Allah will try you through comfort. Sometimes you have to sacrifice and lose some privileges, lose some comforts in your life. Many people fail this test. If one day you have to make this decision between halal and haram, and I could risk losing my job, are you willing? If you have not vaccinated yourself, you may not be able to say no to your job and to dunya. But a true believer realizes that Allah is the Razzaq. Allah is the one who sustains me. Or there is an opportunity for you to invest in recreational marijuana. Can you say no to that? One brother told me, Sayyid, I can make $10 million from this investment, recreational marijuana. Can you say no to that? It's not easy. It's very difficult. It requires a lot of faith and a lot of sacrifice. To train yourself, sacrifice some comfort. You know, one recommendation I give to some people, when they ask me, how do I build myself? How do I strengthen myself? Resist against my temptations and desires. Resist against this dunya. I tell them once a month, sleep on the floor, without a pillow, without a blanket, just on the floor. Millions of people don't have a pillow and blanket to sleep with. Do you know that around the world? Sleep like them one night. Yes, maybe next morning you'll wake up with some sore muscles, with an aching body. You're not used to it, right? You want that comfortable mattress. But you will wake up the next day as a stronger human being. Your iman will be stronger. Try it. Because you're sacrificing some comfort in this dunya. That vaccinates you. It makes you stronger. So put yourself in different situations to see how you react. Let's say your best friend upsets you for the first time. Your best friend wrongs you. Vaccinate yourself. Tell yourself that my good friend has wronged me now. How am I going to react? If you react positively, compassionately, you've vaccinated yourself properly. Next time, you can deal with it. You can handle it. Or you just got engaged, you just got married, and your spouse upsets you, says something out of line, disturbs you. Take this as an opportunity to navigate future challenges. Don't just get angry and break down. Vaccinate yourself. Tell yourself, this is an opportunity for me. Now my best friend has upset me, has thrown a virus at me. How do I deal with this virus? Should I throw back at him, retaliate? Or no, should I take the higher road? Should I forgive my friend, forgive my spouse, remove the misunderstandings? Discuss it properly. Another way to vaccinate yourselves, my dear brothers and sisters, is to work hard to ward off huge trials. See, Allah has created you for a trial in this dunya. You have to be tried in dunya. There's no escape from that. If you're living an easy, comfortable life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will create trouble for you. Not because He hates you, because He loves you. He's training you. He wants to elevate your status and compensate you and make you stronger. Before you wait for that health crisis, financial crisis, that family crisis, before you wait for that trial, put yourself in difficulty. Allah will protect you from many other trials. Work hard, go and volunteer, help the poor, go to a local institution. If you have free time, to an extent, exhaust yourself. Not over-exhaust yourself to the point where you're going to affect your health. No, not to that point. But sacrifice some leisure time. Sacrifice some comfort, some free time. Keep yourself so busy, such that you literally don't have time to scratch your head from morning till night. If you do so, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will state, look at my servant. He's already in difficulty. Even the free time that he has, he's using it to help someone, to do something good, to help society, to increase his knowledge. When Allah sees you in that state, Allah says, I don't need to try him with that sickness, with that health problem, with that financial crisis, because he's already put himself in difficulty. He's training himself. Train yourselves before a calamity comes and trains you. Train yourself before a tragedy comes and trains you. Voluntarily train yourself before a tragedy involuntarily attacks you and it trains you. At least you get to choose what type of trial you want for yourself when it's voluntary. I call this preemptive vaccination. Yes, make it preemptive. You try yourself, challenge yourself, prepare yourself, train yourself. Because Allah wants to train you if He loves you. Another example of this is falling in love and getting hit hard. Many people, when they fall in love, initially, it's a great joy for them. But then when things go the other way, their life is destroyed. They get depressed. They have anxiety. I know people who wanted to commit suicide because they could not be with their loved one, or their loved one betrayed them, or whatever happened. Vaccinate yourself. Love those around you. But be careful with the power of love in your heart. Fill your heart with the love of Allah and the love of Hussein. Make this the primary love of your heart. You'll never be disappointed. See, that's how you vaccinate your heart. That's how you protect your heart. Many, many times these days you see young youth, they quickly fall in love and then they're gone after that. It ends up in disappointment. It ends up in a broken heart. Don't let that happen to you. Fill your heart with the love of Allah and the love of Hussein. If you do so, you will not be as disappointed. You'll be much stronger. But some of us, when we fall in love, that's it. We forget that God exists, Ahlul Bayt exists, my mom exists, my dad exists. That's it. Love blinds us. Don't let it take you to that point. Love things that are eternal and that stay. Love God, the Ahlul Bayt. Love knowledge. These are noble things in your life that you should train your heart to love. It's not easy. Sometimes this requires years or decades for you to arrive at. But it's worth it. Let's learn from Habib ibn Mazahir how to love Abi Abdullah al-Hussein and how to be attracted to the light of Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. It has been narrated that when the letter of Imam Hussein alayhi salam reached Habib ibn Mazahir, he looked at the letter, seeing that Imam Hussein is inviting him to join him and support him. He kissed the letter of Abu Abdullah al-Hussein and he placed it on his forehead. Look at the respect that he had for Imam Hussein. Then he entered his house. His wife, according to this report, asked him, "Who was at the door?" He said, "The messenger of Hussein." She told him, "What does he want?" Habib tells his wife, "Hussein has camped in Tufuf." Tufuf is another name for Karbala. "And he's inviting me to support him." She said, "Oh Allah, I thank you for allowing me to serve Fatima. I thank you for this honor that my husband is going to serve Hussein. So Habib, are you going to go?" It seems that Habib wanted to test his wife. So he hinted that he would not go. As soon as he hinted that, she becomes upset, furious. She tells him, "Oh Habib, if you don't go, I'll take the children and our servants and we will go and fight and defend Hussein." Look at the iman of this lady. Look at the iman of the spouse encouraging her husband to go. You know, it's not easy. We can sit here 14 centuries ago and hear these stories and just pass by them. But a wife who needs the support of her husband, who's going to be a widow, it's not easy for her to tell her husband, "Go and fight, go and die." Which wife can do that? Of course, we're talking about a wife who loves her husband, not a wife who wants to get rid of her husband. But a wife who truly loves her husband, who's good to her, and she needs him. He's protecting her. He's bringing food to the table. You think it's easy for such a wife to tell her husband, "Go and die"? May Allah reward the wife of Habib for being so supportive. So when he tests her and he realizes that no, she's adamant on supporting Imam Hussein and she's threatening him. She's telling him, "Habib, if you don't go, I'm going to take the children and we're going to go. So you better go." He tells her, "My wife, I used to cry with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi," because he's a companion of the Prophet, "for not being a martyr with Rasulullah. I used to cry with Imam Ali, why am I not a shaheed? And both of them gave me the good news. They informed me that I would be killed defending Hussein. I will fall as a shaheed with Hussein. Yes, of course I'm going to go. I'm waiting for this day. Then he tells his servant, take my horse, go outside and wait for me. So I come and go to Karbala. Then he tells his son, my dear son, take care of your mother. You're going to be the father figure of this house. Take care of her after me. He goes outside of the house to go to his horse. Habib ibn Mazahir overhears his slave, his servant, telling the horse, oh horse, if your owner doesn't come, I'm going to ride you and go to support Hussein. When Habib hears that, he begins to cry. He says, may my life be sacrificed to you, O Aba Abdullah. Even the slaves are desperate to come and support you. They want to fight with you. What about me? What about someone like me? Then he looked at the slave. He told him, go. I have freed you. I'm emancipating you. I'm liberating you in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The slave fell at the feet of Habib. And he told him, my master Habib, are you happy to go to heaven? And you want me to go to hell? Just as you're going to fight and support Hussein, please, I beg you, let me come with you. What an amazing servant. He says, yes, of course. Barakallahu feek. May Allah bless you and increase His blessing on you. Come with me. So he had him ride with him on the same horse and they went to Karbala. It was on the 8th of Muharram, Habib ibn Mazahir arrives, the land of Karbala. Imam Hussein alayhi salam had distributed the banners of his army because he had, you know, organized them into wings. He had distributed the banners amongst his companions. One banner was left. Some of the companions told him, oh Imam, give us the honor of having this banner and carrying it. The Imam said, no, its owner must come. The Imam was waiting for Habib. So on the 8th of Muharram, the companions of Imam Hussein noticed that someone was coming from the distant and the dust was rising in the atmosphere because of the fast movement of the horse. They were concerned. Who is that? Is this an enemy? Who's coming towards our camp? Imam Hussein alayhi salam told them, get up and go and greet your master, your sheikh, the elderly man, Habib ibn Mazahir. Go and greet him for he has come to support me. Habib ibn Mazahir, he comes. When he looked at Imam Hussein alayhi salam, he came down from his horse. And he kneeled, he put his knees on the ground, and he said, As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. I am thankful to Allah for giving me the success to be with you here, to fight you. Imam Hussein told him, wa alayka as-salam ammahu Habib. Peace be upon you, my dear uncle Habib. Zainab alayhi salam was in the tents. She realized that someone had come. So she said, who came to fight to support this gharib, my brother Hussein, who's a gharib? Who came to support him? She was told that this is Habib ibn Mazahir al-Asadi. She said, give him my salam. They went to Habib, they told him, Habib, Zainab alayhi salam, the daughter of Fatima and Ali, she sends his salam to you. The narration states that when Habib heard the salam of Zainab, he took the dust of Karbala and he poured it over his head. And he said, who am I for Zainab to send her salam to me? Then he went to Hussein. He told him, Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, do you give me permission to say my salam to Zainab? He said, yes. He went by the tent. From outside, he said, As-salamu alayki, ya Zainab. As-salamu alaykunna ya ahla baytun nubuwa. Peace be upon you, O woman of the family of the Prophet. The angels descended in your homes. As-salamu alayki ya Zainab. Zainab told him, wa alayka as-salam, Uncle Habib, my will is for you to defend Aba Abdullah. Don't fall short in defending Aba Abdullah. He told her, yes, I will make you satisfied, O Zainab. Till the last breath, I shall defend your brother Hussein. It has been reported that Habib also cried and he told Zainab, you know why I'm crying? Your father Ali told me that one day will come in Kufa, you will be paraded as a prisoner of war. La ilaha illallah. Zainab began to cry. She had also Heard this from Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. The day of Ashura comes. Habib ibn Madahir, it's now his turn to go out and fight so valiantly. Even though he was extremely thirsty, he went to the battlefield and he said, Ana Habibun wa Abi Madharu. I am Habib, the son of Madhar. فارس الهيجا وليث قسور. I am a lion in the battlefield. Do not underestimate me. وأنتم ذو عدة وأكثر. Your numbers are greater. Your quantity is greater. ونحن منكم في الحروب أصبر. But we have more patience. We have more iman than you. Yes, O believers, they attacked him from every direction. But he was so strong, carrying his sword and killing many of those enemies. O believers, but the tragedy comes when one of those enemies comes and he strikes Habib on his head. Then another one comes and with a spear, he takes the spear. And he hits Habib ibn Madahir with it. At that point, Habib ibn Madahir falls from his horse. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah. This is my final salam to you. The Imam alayhi salam rushes to the body of Habib. He says, wa alayka salam, Habibi Habib, my beloved Habib. May Allah have mercy on you, Habib. You were a man of virtue. I bear witness, you used to complete the Quran in one night. Then the Imam takes the dust and the blood and he wipes it from the head and forehead of Habib. And the Imam alayhi salam broke into tears to see his beloved Habib fallen on the lands of Karbala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Wa sayalamu alladhina zalamu ala Muhammadin ayyamun qalbiyan qalibun wal aqibatu lil muttaqin. Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. اللهم عجل لوليك الفرج والعافية والناس واجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه والمستشهدين بين يديه. اللهم اشفي كل مريض. اللهم اقضي حوائج المحتاجين يا الله. اللهم اقضي دين كل مدين. اللهم ارزقنا زيارة الحسين. اللهم ارزقنا شفاعة الحسين. والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.